Hazur says that the translation of these verses of the Holy Quran is, "They believe in Allah and the Last Day, and enjoin what is good, and forbid evil, and hasten, vying with one another in good works, and these are among the righteous. And whatever good they do, they shall not be denied its due reward." And Allah well knows the God-fearing. The characteristics of a believer or a mu'min, that they enjoin good, forbid what is evil, in their self-reformation and performing of virtuous acts, they strive to excel one another. All this has been mentioned within the first verse of the Holy Quran I recited. This is a verse of Surah Al-Imran. In this surah or chapter of the Holy Quran, these issues have been mentioned elsewhere also. And it states that it is these aspects that when a person adopts, counts him amongst the Salihin or the righteous, and become an indicator of the strength of his or her faith. It is these aspects also that take one towards success and victory. The reason for this is that Allah the Exalted does not let go to waste the acts of virtue one performs. Therefore, undoubtedly, those who perform virtuous acts, those who enjoin good, and those who excel others in the doing of good, Allah the Almighty rewards and blesses them. However, in the latter verse of the Holy Quran I recited, Allah the Almighty has enjoined, "I am Alim, that I know, and I am Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada, the knower of the seen and the unseen. I have knowledge of what is apparent and what is concealed." Allah says that I am aware of every act you perform, and with what intentions you perform those deeds. If you perform an action with taqwa, then most surely Allah the Almighty will cloak you in His mercy. It is a great favor of Allah the Almighty upon us that in this era of disorder and turmoil, He commissioned the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi. He sent the Imam of this time. And Allah granted us the ability that by having accepted Him, we have pledged to Him that in accordance with the ways taught by Allah the Almighty, we shall raise the standard of our faith, or we shall strive to do so, in the manner taught to us and explained to us in this time by the promised Messiah, on whom be peace and light of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah, that is the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, "Just as it is essential to control one's tongue against saying something that is contrary to the pleasure of Allah the Exalted, it is also essential to articulate it for the expression of truth." Hazur says, in other words, if it is essential to speak out against something evil, then to support the truth or something good, it is also essential to speak out. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, وَيَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that is, they enjoin what is good and forbid evil, is the glory of mu'mins or believers. Prior to enjoining what is good and forbidding evil, it is essential for a person to demonstrate with his practices that he indeed possesses this capacity and strength. Hazur says that when you enjoin all of these aspects, we need to prove and demonstrate this through our practical actions, that these virtues that I am enjoining, I also possess. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, "It is vital that before he influences others, his own condition is made persuasive and also convincing." Therefore, remember not to ever stop from enjoining what is good and from forbidding evil. Indeed, it is also important to recognize the right time and place, and one's figure of speech should be gentle and also clear. Likewise, it is a great sin to say something against taqwa. Hazur says, after accepting the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, our responsibilities increase. In terms of striving to achieve this standard, our every word and deed and every one of our actions should foster good and should stop evil. Otherwise, our bet, our pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah on whom be peace would hold no value whatsoever. In fact, it is possible that it could incur Allah the Almighty's anger. That we have made a pledge but we are not living up to that pledge. The promised Messiah on whom be peace states, I have said again and again, the greater nearness to God the person attains, the greater is his accountability. Those who are far from God are not accountable, but you are. If your level or standard of faith is not greater than theirs, then what is the difference between them and you? Hazur says, therefore, we should not be merely happy that we have accepted the Imam of this time. In fact, now we need to give inclination towards our self-reformation in our own condition, and we need to give more attention than ever before. Otherwise, as the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, that you will be held accountable and you will be questioned. Therefore, we need to be deeply concerned for our self-reformation. If a person merely acquires religious knowledge, that alone will not save him from that accountability. If he does not act in line with that knowledge he has acquired, similarly, to carry out a jamaat work, to be appointed to a certain office, that alone will not save him from the accountability. If he does not act in line with the teachings expounded by Allah the Almighty, by merely being a member of a certain family, or the services of the elders will not save a person from this accountability if he does not act in line with the teachings expounded by Allah the Almighty. Regarding this, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, has said most clearly that by merely taking the bayt, the pledge of allegiance, you do not become the recipients of the rewards due to a follower. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, explains that no, most certainly, that those people are not dear in the sight of Allah the Almighty who wear excellent clothes, who are extremely wealthy or well off. On the contrary, those people are dear in the sight of Allah the Almighty who give preference and precedence to their faith over the world and who give up everything for the sake of Allah the Almighty sincerely. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states that among God's promises, one promise is, وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ أَتَّبَقُوا فَوْقُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. That your followers will be given ascendancy and triumph over those who reject and deny the truth until the Day of Judgment. Whilst it is correct that my followers will be given triumph over my detractors and those who deny me, however, what is worth pondering is that every person who takes the bayt, the pledge of allegiance, does not become a true follower unless a person instills the complete condition of following within him that entails being a follower. He could not be included amongst the sincere and true followers. Hazur says that thus we need to deeply reflect upon this matter. God the Almighty has defined the characteristics of a believer, that وَيَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيَسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ, that they enjoin good, forbid evil, and hasten, vying with one another in good works. Now, we can only become a true embodiment of what is entailed within this verse. We can only deem ourselves as true mu'mins, believers, when we abide by the advice, counsels, and instructions of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, who was an ardent and true devotee and servant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We need to be those who fully strive to abide by them. I have collected various counsels of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, which for our spiritual and religious well-being and also for our worldly progress are essential and important. as the promised Messiah on whom be peace has elucidated, if we do not endeavor to act upon the words of the promised Messiah on whom be peace with deep concentration and due attention, then we cannot call ourselves as true followers. One immense task that was assigned to the promised Messiah on whom be peace in this era was to propagate or spread the message of Islam to the entire world. This is also the task of those who believe in him. But for this, we need to make ourselves into virtuous models, as the promised Messiah on whom be peace has said. First, reform your own state and condition in a manner that will impact and persuade others. It is only then that you will have any effect. Drawing our attention towards our word and deed, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, if this matter was restricted to chit-chat and mere pretense, then what is the distinction between us and others? And what excellence do we have over other people? Therefore, display your practical model, which should contain within it a sparkle such that attracts other people to accepting it, because until there is a sparkle within that, nobody will accept it. Hazur says, therefore, this is a cleansing of our inner and outer self that leads to this sparkle becoming apparent in us, and we need to strive to infuse this so that we can become those who fulfill and abide by the pledge of Bayt, the pledge of allegiance. And we can become those who fulfill the dues of the Bayt, the pledge of allegiance. The promised Messiah on whom be peace states, if we merely say things verbally, then remember that is of no use alone. For success and for victory, taqwa is essential. If you desire success, then become a muttaqi, one who is righteous and God-fearing. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says further that Allah the Almighty loves the muttaqi, the righteous and God-fearing. Bearing in mind the greatness of God, have the fear of Allah in your heart. Hazur says, fear Allah in your heart and have the love and also the fear of Him within you. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, remember that everyone is God's creation. Do not be cruel to anyone nor impetuous. Do not look down upon another with contempt. If there is one bad person in the community, he causes everyone to be bad. If you are inclined towards becoming angry quickly, then look deeply into your heart that where does this anger stem from? What is the source of this anger? This is a very delicate stage. Hazur says, anger is a natural sentiment, but do not allow it to overcome you. If you are ever angry, then it should be in the context of trying to cause reformation. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, act virtuously towards every person. There are also rights of the kith and kin. Also be virtuous towards them. However, you should avoid those matters that are contrary to Allah the Almighty's pleasure. The promised Messiah alayhi salam, then drawing attention towards the fear of Allah, what standard it should be of, and how the fear of Allah should be infused within us, he states, fear of God the Almighty is when a person observes how much correspondence there is between his word and his deed. When he realizes that he does not practice what he preaches, he should consider that he is liable for divine wrath. If one's heart is impure, no matter how virtuous the words he utters, in the sight of God his heart is of no value. On the contrary, he incurs God's chastisement. Therefore, my Jamaat or community should realize that they have come to me so that I may sow a seed which would make a fruitful tree. Therefore, every single person needs to analyze his own self, that what his own condition or state is and what his outer or apparent condition is. If God forbid the state of a Jamaat is such that they say one thing but within their heart is something else, then they would not have a good end. When Allah the Exalted sees that a community is empty-hearted and merely makes verbal expressions, then he is ghani, he is self-sufficient, he cares not. At the Battle of Badr, the prophecy of triumph had already been made. There was hope and expectation everywhere. Yet, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray in supplication whilst weeping and crying profusely. Hadrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, asked, "When there is a promise of victory in every way, what is the need of this deep supplication?" The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "God in His being is ghani, self-sufficient. It is possible that the divine promise carries some hidden conditions." Hazur says, "Thus, if the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who was given promises by God the Almighty, at the time of Badr, as is mentioned in the hadith, he would cry and weep so profusely that the cloth around his shoulders would fall off. And this is the manner in which he would pray, that perhaps there are some hidden conditions which we are not fulfilling. If the Holy Prophet ﷺ has some concealed and hidden conditions attached to his victory, then who can possibly be exempt from having hidden conditions attached to their success? Therefore, as we are unaware of the secrets of Allah the Almighty, there is a great need to reform our own selves. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, "It is a condition on the people of Taqwa to spend their lives in meekness, humility, and poverty. This is a branch of Taqwa through which we have to contend with unwarranted anger. The last and critical stage for devout and truthful people is to avoid anger." Hazur says, "It is necessary to avoid anger." So he says, "Arrogance and conceit is born out of anger. And anger itself at times results from arrogance and conceit." Hazur says that at times anger is born out of arrogance. And at times arrogance and conceit are born out of anger. So they often work both ways. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, "Anger is produced when a person gives preference to his own self over others. I do not want people of my community to consider each other lower or higher than the other person, or that they should look at each other with pride or look down upon the other with contempt. God knows who is lowly and who is great. This is a type of humiliation which has an aspect of disdain. It is feared that this disdain will grow like a seed and becomes a source of annihilation." That is where arrogance is found. "Some meet elders or important people or those who are senior courteously on consideration. But one is truly great when he listens to what a humble person has to say with humility and gratifies him and respects and regards him and does not say anything to irritate him that may hurt his feelings." God the Almighty says, "وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ بِئْسَ الْإِسْمَ الْفَسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ." In other words, bad indeed is evil reputation after the profession of belief. First it says, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْإِلْقَابِ, that do not call each other with bad names. And then it says that bad indeed is evil reputation after the profession of belief. And finally it says, those who repent not are the wrongdoers. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, do not call names born out of irritation. This is the act of the wicked. Hazur says, those people who disobey Allah the Almighty, who follow Satan, this is their station and act. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, one who taunts other will not die until he too is similarly embroiled. Do not consider your brothers as insignificant and contemptuous. When you all drink from the same spring, who knows whose fate is to drink more? One cannot be honorable and respectable through worldly principles. In the sight of God the Exalted, that person is great who is a muttaqi, God-fearing and righteous. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum innallaha alimum khabir. That verily the most honorable among you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most righteous among you. Surely Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. So therefore true insight and true knowledge cannot be attained without being inclined to Allah the Exalted. Hazur says, true intellect and true discernment cannot be acquired without submitting and supplicating to Allah. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, this is why it is stated that fear the believer's insight, because he perceives through the divine light. Real knowledge and real discernment can never be acquired until taqwa is obtained. If you desire to be successful, employ your senses, reflect, and ponder. The Holy Quran has repeatedly instructed us to reflect and ponder. Deeply meditate over the hidden meanings in the Holy Quran and become chaste of nature. When your hearts are purified, and you will use wisdom and also real knowledge and will abide by taqwa, the combination of these two will create the condition where the prayer, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, that our Lord, Thou hast not created this in vain. Nay, holy art Thou. Save us then from the punishment of the fire. This prayer will emanate from your heart. At that time, you will realize that creation is not without purpose. Rather, it indicates towards the truth and proof of the true Creator, so that all kinds of arts and sciences which support religion are made evident. Hazur says, this prayer emanates from the heart, that whatever God has created is not in vain. That is not false or without purpose, because God is pure. So we then supplicate to Allah the Almighty to save us from the punishment of the fire. The promised Messiah says, when we pray from the heart this supplication, we will then understand that Allah the Almighty has created everything for a purpose. If He has created humans, then every human holds a station. To respect and regard every single human station is essential. Endeavor to understand the purpose of why Allah the Almighty has created the creation. Then you will comprehend that God the Almighty has not created anything without a purpose. As the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, so that all kinds of arts and sciences which support religion are made evident. Hazur says, when your intelligence and knowledge increases, then different kinds of worldly sciences, etc., that support religion, their secrets will become evident to you. In short, the spirit of excelling with one another in the vying of good works will be born when you strive to acquire knowledge of the Holy Quran, when you strive to comprehend and discern the Holy Quran. For this reason, you need to read the Holy Quran with great reflection and deliberation if you want to be a true mu'min, a believer, and if you want to be of those who truly discern and have knowledge of what virtues are. Further, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, if you wish that you prosper in this world and the next, and that you win the hearts of people, then adopt purity, employ your intellect, and abide by the commandments of the Word of God. Improve your own selves and demonstrate your high morals to others. Then alone will you be successful. How well has someone said the following statement, which is in Persian? That whatever emanates from the heart influences hearts. So therefore, first create courage of the heart. If you wish to influence hearts, create strength of practice, because without practice, verbal and physical strength can have no avail whatsoever. There are hundreds of people who profess things verbally. Many are given titles of Maulvis and Ulama. They stand on pulpits to preach, deeming themselves deputies of the prophets and successors of the prophets. They preach that avoid arrogance, avoid pride, avoid immorality. However, when you look at their own practices and their own conducts, it can be assessed from that how can their words affect anyone's hearts? Hazur says, certainly those who accept the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, are not swayed by these Maulvis. But those who are detractors of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, who are well educated and have some intellect, and who have decency to some degree, if you ask them even, then they only curse the Maulvis. They say that the Maulvis preach something and practice something else. Apart from disorder and turmoil, they have not produced anything. Therefore, When our words match our deeds, it will open up new avenues of tabligh, of preaching. It will also impact others. Regarding new sciences and the fact that we should acquire them, the promised Messiah on whom be peace said, I consider those Maulvis erroneous, who are against modern sciences. In fact, they do so to hide their own fault and weaknesses. They have it embedded in their heads that researching modern sciences turns one against Islam and leads one astray. They have declared that intellect and science are completely contrary to Islam. As they do not have the capacity to critique flaws of philosophy, therefore, in order to hide this failing of their own, they concoct that it is not warrantable to study modern sciences. Their souls tremble at the name of philosophy, and they prostrate before new researches. However, they have not been given the true philosophy which is generated from divine revelation. Hazur says, because they could not reply to worldly philosophy, they tremble before it, and they say you should not read it at all. So the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, continues, they have not been given the true philosophy which is generated from divine revelation, with which the Holy Quran is replete. That is only given to those, and those alone, who devote themselves to Allah the Exalted with extreme humility and morality. Hazur says, those who throw themselves at the threshold of the Divine, those who submit themselves entirely before Allah the Almighty and seek help from Him. So he continues that those whose hearts are completely free of the sentiments of arrogance, those who confess their weaknesses while acknowledging sincere devotion to Allah the Almighty. Hazur says, if this state is fostered, then they are granted knowledge and insight. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, it is required that today modern science is acquired for the purpose of service to faith and to communicate the word of God. Hazur says, to spread the faith. The modern sciences that are available to us today, we need to acquire them. And acquire them with great endeavor. Strive in this way. Advance in science. Enter the fields of research. Nowadays, I'm especially inculcating the Ahmadi students that strive in this way. This will be a means of tabligh and a means of virtue. When you acquire this knowledge of modern sciences, etc., that is, knowledge based on new research today, on science, etc., then numerous new avenues will open up. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, acquire this modern knowledge and acquire it with great endeavor. However, it has also been in my experience, and I mention this as a caution, that those people who get involved in these sciences single-mindedly and were so obsessed and engrossed that they did not keep the company of spiritual people, they did not possess any divine light of their own accord. Such people usually stumble and became distant from Islam. Hazur says, indeed, do acquire this knowledge, but read the Quran alongside and acquire knowledge from it, so that you can tread on the right path. And then treading on the right path, those who have knowledge of the Holy Quran, you should attach with them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, rather than making the sciences secondary to Islam, they tried in vain to make Islam secondary to the sciences, and in their own presumption became the providers of religious and national services. But remember that only that person can serve religion who has heavenly or divine light within him. Hazur says, and in this era, we have received this light from the promised Messiah on whom be peace. For this reason, to understand the commentary of the Holy Quran, to read the books of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, and to read his commentaries are most essential. Then you can combine science with religious knowledge. For it will never happen that worldly knowledge supersedes the religious knowledge. Religion always remains overarching, and religious knowledge is always dominant over worldly knowledge. Then the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, explaining Sabiru wa Rabitu, that is, strive to excel in steadfastness and be on your guard, that inculcate people about remaining steadfast and safeguard the boundaries. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, just as to defend the borders against the enemy, horses are required. so that the enemy does not exceed limits. Similarly, you should also be ready, Azur says, to guard the borders. An army is required, and in olden times, an army that had the use of horses was considered extremely effective. Therefore, in this era, when every kind of equipment and instrument is available to countries to safeguard their border, that is necessary for them. So similarly, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, just as horses are required so that the enemy does not exceed limits upon the border, you should be ready, lest the enemy crosses the border and injures Islam. I have said this before, that if you wish to support and serve Islam, first adopt taqwa yourself and purity. This will bring you in the unassailable fortress of Allah the Exalted. And you will be given the privilege and the right to serve it. You observe how weak the external condition of Muslims has become. Nations look down on them with contempt and hatred. Hazur says, this predicament was the same over 100 years ago in the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and today it has increased even more. Muslims are looked at with contempt and hatred, and this is due to their own bad actions. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, if your inner strength is also lowered and weakened, then consider it all ended. Hazur says, in other words, you who believe in the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi, if your inner strength is weak, if you become engrossed in materialism when you forget the faith, then consider that the end. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues that purify yourselves such that holy power penetrates in you, and you become strong defenders like those who defend the borders. The grace of Allah the Exalted is always with the righteous and the truthful. Do not adopt those morals and ways which would tarnish Islam. Immoral people and Muslims who do not practice the teachings of Islam tarnish and stain the name of Islam. For example, a Muslim drinks alcohol. He vomits in public and his turban becomes undone. He falls about in dirty sewers. The police beat him. Hindus and Christians laugh at him. His irreligious deed is not just a source of his own derision. Rather, imperceptibly, it also has an impact upon Islam. Such news or reports from prisons deeply aggrieve me when I see that due to their bad deeds, Muslims are targets of reprimand. My heart becomes restless that these people who have been shown the right path do not simply damage themselves by their excesses. Rather, Islam is derided because of them. Hazur says, this predicament is also true today. Many Muslims who come over here, in particular if you observe those Muslims traveling by air, where they are free to drink alcohol. They may be traveling from Pakistan or Arab countries, they are drinking alcohol profusely. And they also trouble the passengers beside them. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, therefore, mold your actions and deeds in such a way that the disbelievers who are criticizing you, and in fact are criticizing Islam, do not have an opportunity to raise any fingers. The promised Messiah alayhi salam then counseling regarding who is truly brave and courageous. How an Ahmadi should be brave and courageous. He says, our community does not need strong men and those possessing great physical strength. In fact, people who have the strength to try to improve morals are needed. It is a matter of fact that a strong man is not one who can move a mountain from its position. Most certainly not. The truly brave and strong person is one who has the ability to improve morals. Remember to utilize all your strength and power to improve morals, because this is real power and bravery. Then, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, discussing the true doctrines and also righteous deeds, says, in addition, there are two further paths which a truthful and sincere person should bear in mind. Amongst them, one is true belief. It is an excellent grace of Allah the Exalted that He has shown us the way of perfect and complete belief through the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, without any hard work or endeavor on our part. Hazur says that everything has been given to us ready-made and presented before us without any effort on our part. So the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, many scholars are still deprived of the way that has been shown to you people in this age. Therefore, you should be grateful for this grace and blessing of Allah the Exalted. Gratefulness entails in adopting those righteous deeds with sincerity, which come after true belief and are the second part. Deriving help from your practices, pray that God keeps you firm on the true belief and enables you to perform amal salihah, righteous deeds. Worship constitutes of fasting, salah, that is prayer, and zakat, etc. Now, consider, for example, there is prayer. It has come to this world, but it is not from this world. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Qurrata ayni fi salat, that prayer is a delight of the eyes. Hazur says, although prayer has come to the world, it is not something from this world, as in it is not for worldly or materialistic people. It is something that only true mu'mins or believers can fulfill the dues of. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that our Jamaat should bear in mind that look, what was the ending of nations like that of Lot? It is necessary that even if the heart is hardened, it is rebuked and trained to become humble and tender. Hazur says, even if the heart is hardened, still endeavor and strive and make efforts repeatedly. Accuse your heart so that tenderness can be adopted wherein, and that you can be inclined towards Allah the Almighty and towards worship, and you can submit in this regard. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says this is extremely important for our Jamaat because they receive fresh spiritual knowledge. If one makes a claim of having spiritual knowledge but does not practice it, then it is mere boasting. This is why our Jamaat should not be negligent due to the negligence of others, and seeing the extinguished fervours of others should not cool off this fervour. Mankind has many wishes, but who is unaware of the unseen of fate? Hazur says, nobody is aware of what is to come of the fate of the unseen. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, life never goes according to one's wishes. Hazur says, life does not go according to one's desires. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, the aspect of wishes is different from the aspect of fate, and this is the true aspect. Remember that Allah the Exalted holds the true accounts of man who does not know what is written in them. This is why you should awaken the heart and draw its attention. Hazur says, the circumstances of your life that reach Allah the Almighty are completely accurate because nothing is hidden from God the Exalted. For this reason, repeatedly look into your heart and awaken it and become inclined towards Allah the Almighty. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, adopt taqwa because it is taqwa alone that can be called a summary of the Sharia. If Sharia has to be explained in short, the essence of Sharia can only be taqwa. Taqwa has many ranks and stations, but if the seeker is truthful and passes the initial stations and stages with resolve and sincerity, then he attains the high stations because of that truthfulness and that quest for the truth. Allah the Almighty states, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that Allah accepts only from the righteous. This is the promise of Allah the Almighty, and Allah the Almighty never violates His promise. Hazur says, that is, He never acts in contradiction to His promises. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, as Allah has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادَ, that surely Allah fails not in His promise. Thus, while the condition of taqwa is a binding condition for the acceptance of prayer, would a person who wishes for acceptance of prayers while remaining negligent and astray be not unwise and foolish? Therefore, it is essential that each person in our Jamaat abides by taqwa as much as possible so that they can acquire the pleasure of acceptance of prayer and strengthen his faith. Elsewhere, the promised Messiah alayhi salam counseling says, I received the revelation numerous times that you people become muttaqi, righteous and fear of Allah, and tread upon the delicate path of taqwa. Then consider God with you. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, this developed a great pain in my heart that what can I do to ensure that my Jamaat tread on true taqwa? I pray so much for this that whilst praying, I encounter weakness, and at times I almost become unconscious. He says that until a community in the eyes of Allah the Almighty does not become muttaqi, they will not receive the help and succor of Allah. Taqwa is the essence of all religious scriptures, the Torah and the Bible, etc. Just one word in the Holy Quran encapsulates the splendid and glorious will and decree of Allah the Almighty, and that word is taqwa. At one time, the promised Messiah alayhi salam said to the Jama'ah that they should especially pray, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَاكِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, that our Lord grant us good in this world as well as the good in the world to come and protect us from the torment of the fire. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam says repentance or tawbah is not an extra or useless thing for a person, nor is it restricted to the day of judgment. Rather, it caters for a person's religion and world, and he receives comfort and true well-being both in this world and in the hereafter. Look, in the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty states, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَكِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, that, O our Lord, grant us good in this world as well as good in the world to come, and protect us from the torment of the fire. Observe, in truth, the word Rabbana, our Lord, makes a subtle indication towards tawbah, repentance, because the word Rabbana necessitates that a person is turning to Lord after being wary of other gods that he had previously created. This word cannot be uttered by a person without true pain and tenderness. Rabb, or Lord, is one who takes one to gradual excellence and who nurtures and sustains. The fact is that a person creates many idols or gods within. He fully relies on his schemes and ploys, and these are his gods or his Rabb. If he is haughty about his knowledge or physical strength, then that is his Rabb or God. If he is proud of his physical attractiveness or wealth, then that is his Rabb or God. In short, he is involved in thousands of such aspects. Until a person abandons all of them and is weary of them, and does not offer his submission before the one God who is without any partner and who is a true Lord, and does not turn to him with tender and heartfelt sounds of Rabbana, he has not understood the real Lord or the real Rabb. When he repents in the presence of the Lord with tenderness of heart and soul, confessing his sins and calling him Rabbana, that our Lord, that is you alone with a true and real Lord, and it was through our own error that we were lost in other places, and that now I have abandoned those false gods, and I affirm your Rububiyat, your providence, with sincerity of heart, and I turn to you at your threshold. In short, it is difficult to make God one's Rabb or Lord without this. Hazur says, when this state develops, then Allah will become the true Rabb or Lord for you. He continues, unless the other Rabbs and their values, greatness and dignity does not leave one's heart, one cannot abide by the true Rabb and his Rububiyat. Some people make falsehood their Rabb or God. They realize that they could not do without their falsehood. Others make theft, robbery, or fraud their Rabb or God, and it is their belief that without these ways they have no way of being provided for. So these are their gods. A thief who has all the apparatus of burglary and the night being suitable for him, and perhaps there is no guard or sentry about. In such a state, does he consider any other way apart from theft that can be a means of his livelihood? He considers his apparatus his god. In short, people who rely on their own schemes and ploys, what need do they have to supplicate and pray to God? Hazur says, they believe all their possessions to be Rabb or gods. So he says, only that person is in need of prayer for whom all other ways are shut and who has no other way but God's threshold. That is a person whose heart prays, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, that our Lord grant us good in this world. This is only for those who have believed in God as their Lord, as their Rabb, and they are convinced that all other false gods are not compared to their Lord. Fire does not only mean fire of the Day of Judgment. That is, when it says, وَكِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, that does not only mean fire of the day of judgment. A person who lives a long life in this world sees that there are thousands of kinds of fires in this world. Those who are experienced are aware that there are wide-ranging fires in this world. All manners of torment, fears, ailments, adversities, killings, diseases, failures, fear of humiliation and misfortune, thousands of kind of anguishes regarding wife and children and entanglement with relatives. In short, these are all fires. A Mu'min, a true believer, prays to God to be saved from all kinds of fires. We have sought your help. Save us from all these troubles that make human life miserable and are like fire for a person. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, writes about the promises of Allah to true Ahmadis. This has been mentioned once before, but the detailed discourse on this reads as follows. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَجَعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْقُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that He will place those who follow Thee above those who disbelieve until the day of resurrection. This reassuring promise was made to the son of Mary born into Christianity, Hazur says, that is Jesus, alayhi salam. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says that, but I give you the glad tiding that the son of Mary by the name of Yusuf Masih who will come was given the same glad tiding in the same words. Now, ponder yourself that those who wish to make a connection with me and be included in this immense promise and great tiding, can they be those who have fallen at the stage of Amara, the self that incites to evil, and are adopting the ways of wickedness? Most certainly not. Those who truly value this divine promise and do not consider what I say as fables, remember and listen from your heart. I once again address those who are connected to me. This is not an ordinary connection, rather it is a tremendous relationship. It affects not only reach me, but also that being who has taken me to the person of that esteemed, perfect man who brought the spirit of truth and verity to this world. I say this, that if these matters were to only affect my being, I would have had no worry or concern and would not have had any care. But this does not end here. Its effects reach our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah the Exalted. Therefore, in this instance, listen most carefully. If you wish to partake in this tiding and wish to be its verifier, and you have the true thirst for such a great success, that is, that you will be dominant in the deniers till the day of judgment, then I say only this much, that this success will not be attained unless you pass through the stage of Lawwama, the reproving self, and reach the tower of Mutmainna, the soul at peace or at soul at rest. I do not say any more than this, that you people have linked with a person who has been appointed by God. Listen to his words, therefore, with sincerity of heart and be ever ready to implement them, so that you are not from among those who fall in the filth of denial after accepting and thus barter eternal torment. Hazur says, therefore, these are just a few advice and counsels from amongst the counsels provided by the promised Messiah alayhi salam when he addressed his Jamaat. Fortunate are those people who are in the direct presence and company of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and receive blessings. And they heard all of this advice from the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Fortunate are we as well who have received all of this advice. And we are grateful to those people who have conveyed these words of advice to us to enable us to truly understand our pledge of allegiance, our pledge of bayat, so that we can become of those people who perform virtuous acts, who understand the spirit of piety and spread this righteousness, so that we can become those people who adopt righteousness and make every effort at every moment to excel in goodness. In this era, the promised Messiah alayhi salam has set us on the correct path of taqwa, providing us with spiritual knowledge and insight regarding it. Therefore, it is the duty of every single one of us that being grateful to Allah the Exalted, we tread on the path of taqwa. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to do so. At this time, after the Friday prayers, I will lead some funeral prayers in absentia, the first of which is of our Marabbi Silsala missionary. who was working in the center in Rabwa. His name is Mukarram Sheikh Muhammad Naeem Sahib, son of Sheikh Muhammad Aslam Sahib of Dunyapur. He was working in the record department, where they keep various records and maintain them. This is an administrative department. He came to the office, and whilst working, he had a heart attack. He fell unconscious and he was taken to the hospital. But despite every effort from the doctors, he lost his life and he passed away. And he returned to his Lord. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was 62 years old. He was extremely cheerful at all times, and he possessed a great personality. He worked extremely hard. At the age of 18, he did the Vasiyat. He served as a missionary in Sierra Leone. Then he also worked in various districts in Pakistan as a missionary. As I stated, that nowadays he was working in the Department of Records. He worked very diligently. He was a son-in-law of the late Mulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Juktai, a missionary. He had no children of his own but had fostered a daughter. And he also leaves behind a wife. May Allah the Almighty grant them forbearance and endurance as well and elevate the rank of the deceased. The second funeral is of Mukarram Asan Kamal Sahib, son of Mukarram Muzaffar Iqbal Sahib of Karachi. He was from Punjab, the district of Leia. His paternal great-grandfather became an Ahmadi and was a companion of the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace. He did the bear the Pledge of Allegiance at the hands of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. His paternal grandfather also had an extremely close relationship with Hadrat Khalif Dumasi IV. His mother is a Sadr Lajna of the area and is serving Lajna in this capacity. He was in Mahmudabad in Karachi. There is quite fierce opposition against the Jamaat there. There have been 3 martyrdoms in this area already. At the time he was working in a company. On 18th January, according to his routine, he was busy in his work at 4:30 p.m. 2 unknown assailants arrived on a motorcycle. They tried to steal his mobile phone. After insisting, they fired at him, and he passed away immediately there and then. This may not be a Jamaati martyrdom, but as he was an Ahmadi, it seems like they concocted the smallest of excuses to try and steal this mobile phone, so perhaps this may make it a Jamaati martyrdom, but anyhow. He was at his work and he made efforts to safeguard it. And he gave up his life for this, and this is also a martyrdom. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank. He was 30 years old. The third funeral is of Mukarram Irfan Ahmed Sahib, Uncha Mangar District, Hafizabad. He passed away on 9th January. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was the son of Hazrat Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, companion of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. He had served in the Furqan Force in Pakistan. He was a Musi and had a deep connection of devotion and loyalty with Khilafat and the Jamaat. He leaves behind his wife, 5 sons and 5 daughters. One of his sons, Rizwan Ahmed Shahid Sahib, is nowadays a missionary serving in Ivory Coast. Because he was serving there, he could not attend the funeral, so this funeral will also be offered. May Allah the Almighty extend forgiveness and mercy to all 3 of the deceased, and may Allah the Almighty grant strength and solace to the families who have been left behind.